How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. The image of God as a mother is not actually an uncommon one, even if it is generally underused in our liturgical and devotional materials. The fierce devotion, the fierceness and devotion of maternal love, the physical and spiritual self-giving of childbearing and breastfeeding, people throughout the ages have seen a glimpse of God in their experience of mothers and of mothering. So Jesus' use of a maternal image to describe his love for the people of Jerusalem and his desire to protect and nurture them is not surprising. What is maybe a little surprising is that the mother he chooses is a chicken. He could have echoed the prophets and the psalmists and named a majestic eagle guarding her nest, or a mother bear defending her cubs, or a human clasping her baby to her chest. But the mother he identifies with, when facing down that fox Herod, is a chicken. And chickens cannot expect to have much success against foxes. Herod was a dangerous man. The historic record, beyond simply the Bible, points a picture of a violent despot who ruled on Rome's behalf for his own pleasure and power. His claim to the throne was tenuous, and he was fearful of uprising and revolution. Rome required him to keep the peace. He kept it through a reign of terror and oppression, murdering those who, like John the Baptist, appeared to threaten his authority, his control. And yet, when the Pharisees warn Jesus about Herod, his response is not fear or anger. He neither runs nor promises to retaliate. His response is to continue on his way, steadfast and sure. His reply to Herod is clear. I will continue what I am doing until it is time for me to stop, because I am not afraid of you. You are afraid of me, but you are not my concern. And with that, Jesus turns his attention from Herod to Jerusalem, where he sees a people in danger. These are the people he has been sent to care for, to heal and forgive and set free. And even though they will reject him, even though they will choose the security of what they know over the freedom he offers, even though he knows where his path will lead, knows what his end will be. Jesus identifies with a mother hen because he is not going to fight to protect his children. He is going to die to protect his children. But even knowing all of this, Jesus' response is compassion, no matter the cost. Now, to have compassion is to do more than have pity for someone or sympathy with someone. It's more even than to love someone. It is to feel with them, to suffer with them. Compassion, suffer with. It is to make room in your heart for them as well as for yourself. And it is compassion that underpins all of Jesus' ministry, that underpins his very life. The incarnation of God in Jesus is the ultimate expression of God's compassion. Jesus is God's heart made flesh among us to suffer with us. Jesus had compassion for the outcast, compassion for the sick, compassion for the lost, even compassion for those who would do him harm. Over and over again, Jesus enters into the need, the questioning, the fear, the suffering of others, and he invites them into his own life, into his own heart, into his own death and resurrection. And that is what the season of Lent is about. It is the church's expression of this invitation into the heart of Jesus, into compassion. For 40 days, we prepare ourselves to walk with Jesus in his last days, to enter into his suffering. We seek to join with him as he spreads his wings and gives up his life for the love of God's people. But compassion with Jesus requires more than giving up chocolate or wine or adding an additional prayer or donation to our day. It requires making space in our hearts, not simply for Jesus' suffering, but for all the suffering he carries on behalf of the world, of all his beloved chicks, whether they are under his wings or not. And there is so much suffering. Our world is racked in pain, and we are bombarded with it in the news and on the streets, pain expressed and explored in books and theater and music. And then there's the suffering we only glimpse, the suffering that goes on quietly behind closed doors and carefully smiling faces. And under all of that, there is our own private suffering, whether great or small. And there is simply too much for us to bear. Our very hearts would break. But if we are willing, if we accept the invitation to be sheltered, safe under the open wings of our Mother Jesus, something remarkable happens. Our hearts are broken. And we discover that it is in the breaking open that they are healed. Jesus' compassion becomes our compassion. Jesus' love becomes our love. Jesus' self-giving death, our death. Jesus' risen life, our new life. And we find that even with broken hearts, or rather, because of our broken hearts, we have the strength to stretch out our wings and offer shelter against the foxes. And we know that chickens may not be able to expect much success against foxes. But we also know that Jesus defines success rather differently from most people. The foxes are defeated when we refuse to allow their world to be the only world, when we reject the rules of their game in favor of God's rules, and when we deny them the power to tell us when we are done. The foxes want to scare us into closing our hearts to one another. They want to tell us who is deserving of compassion and who we can leave out, who belongs and who doesn't, who matters and who doesn't. They want to convince us that there is only so much room, and it's okay. Unavoidable, really. Appropriate, even, to leave some of the chicks to the mercy of the foxes. But hearts joined to Jesus' heart are strong and spacious. And the more they break open, the more room they have, and the stronger they become. Chickens, it turns out, defeat the foxes every time. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings? May Jesus' desire be our desire.